Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 332. Now let the feeble all be strong, and make Jehovah's arm their song. His shield is spread o'er every saint, and thus supported, who shall faint? 332.
Let us read together for our instruction from Psalm 115, And Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They that speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come once more, and with our coming we realize that it is once less. For eternity comes quickly, and our days, Lord, are numbered. And make us, Lord, to know our end, and what manner of persons we ought to be, that we may live in that fear of the Lord, and not be left to indulge in all of the pleasures of life which come to an end. But Lord, with eternity before us, may each one consider as to whether they shall come into thy blessed presence, there to enjoy those blessings throughout an eternity, where life and love and power may be known, and drawn continually from the source of those things, that there should be then no more a fainting, no more a lack, no more feeling that we are destitute, but to live in the fullness of those things. But we, O Lord, may we tend upwards, though we have to mourn the fact that it is particularly if left to ourselves that we grovel here below, fond of trifling toys. Our thoughts can neither fly nor go to reach eternal joys. But as mourners here, and often feeling, and we on the way are no farther yet, yet to prove, O Lord, that thou dost still maintain, and thou dost pardon, and blot out the iniquities, that might indeed be or stand between us. And it is a solemn realization that our sins have separated us from our God. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We stand in his merits, or would do so by faith, or for an increase of faith, and to therefore look unto him, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, as it had been slain. May we cast our crowns at thy feet, if indeed we have received that crown of saving grace, and that we may extol thee, having loved us, having saved us. But, O Lord, we dare not presume. Oh, for a touch that may come from the throne. Put forth thy sceptre, that we may venture thereunto. May we be able to plead our case, and do hear, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive as we may be unable to pour out our heart in confession and godly sorrow. We do, Lord, desire that thou would help us then as we once again are gathered together. May it be, Lord, that in this our gathering we sense thy gracious presence and help. Help in hearing. Help, O Lord, in meditating upon the truth. Help in ministering. O Lord, we have no strength in ourselves, but as weak, poor, helpless worms, on thy kind arms we fall. Be thou our strength and righteousness, our Jesus, and our all. We do, Lord, desire that thou would grant that the word may go forth with power, meet the cases. Oh, we cannot command the blessing, but thou canst. And Lord, whatever stumblings thy servants may feel they make, yet thou canst cause even their feeble efforts to be made a blessing. And Lord, a word dropped, a word in season, to be as apples of gold and pictures of silver. And so may the things of grace be enhanced in the framework of thy eternal purposes and promises. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy mercy upon those absent. Some that were with us this morning we see not this evening. Lord, do in mercy look upon them. And if they are withheld through lawful reasons, may be in disposition, or it may be that there are those things which have emerged that cause them. But if through indifference and unconcern, that they would stir them up. And Lord, there may be those that even come down to their old age, and still they continue without much of a concern over eternity and their souls. Lord, do not leave them to fall into the pit. But could it please thee to raise them up from their carnal, cold, indifferent state, and give them the true fervour and earnestness for that life eternal. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of the young. Lord, there are babes that are amongst the people here, those that do not long stay in the arms, but soon, as they may be moving and walking about, growing up, then exposed to the world, whether in their education, at first and then later perhaps exposed to the worldly ways and influences when they have to do with it. And Lord, unless we are kept, we shall find that we are overcome. And how we need, Lord, to be given gracious discernment, that we might detect what is the spirit of the world and what is the true spirit of Christ. That we may be given the grace to hold fast that which is good. Oh, do, Lord, deliver us out of temptation. And spare us, Lord, from our own spirit. And may we not be caught up with that spirit of pride, thinking that we are something better than others. For surely sin brings us to an equality. We're all sinners in thy sight. We all deserve the punishment due to us. Our just deserts are death and hell. It is only thy mercy that has delivered us and raised us up and plucked us as brands from the burning and brought us, Lord, into the sanctuary, that we may see the end of those who seek thee not, who may serve gods of their own imagination, and who may and may think that they are good people, live their lives aright, and yet they may be walking in the sparks of their own kindling, and also in the presumption of a faith that they have not. Oh, do deliver us, Lord, from such, for we can so easily fall into it. Deliver us from the spirit of Pharisaism. Do grant us true sincerity and godliness. And may we, Lord, ever realise that we can slip and fall even as others. Oh, then preserve us, though, we pray, and make us humble in thy before thee and before our fellows. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be gracious unto those that bear the burdens of the day, or that they may be helped to commit their way continually unto thee. We remember those in bereavement and sorrow, having lost a loved one or loved ones, and Lord, we do commend them into thy hands, that they may be sustained and supported. And Lord, not only at the time of loss, but afterward, when perhaps many who have remembered them in prayer then forget. And Lord, we are apt to get bound up in our own affairs and neglect the fact that there are those who are feeling bereft. But we would remember the widows and pray for them, and the fatherless, and the widowers, and indeed all those who come to feel that they have had a loss, and yet may they see that thou canst be to them more than what they have lost. Lord, be thou their brother. Be thou, O Lord, a husband. Be thou to such a friend indeed. O Lord, do then sustain. We do also, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of thy people in their varied pathways, and some may seem to travel much by night in their soul's experience. O lighten their darkness, and shine forth from between the cherubims, and save them for thy mercy's sake. And now, Lord, do be with us as we've entered upon another week. And may we see thy good hand going before us, making crooked places straight and rough places plain. And may we see, Lord, that all working together for good, and that even those disappointments are seen to be thy appointments. So hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. We pray for our nation and the solemn state in which we see her to be. Lord, one cries this and another cries that. But we see that much is to this end, that man may satisfy himself rather than glorify God. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And how men love to obtain those things by any means. So, Lord, we live in solemn days, days of darkness and opposition. We know not how much we may suffer persecution from the varying opposing factions, which seem to be very strong and make their voices heard. But Lord, thou art able to put a wall of fire round about thy people and to spare them from those things which may cause them much grief. Now pardon us then, we ask, and accept us as we plead the name, the only all-prevailing name, of Jesus Christ, our only hope. Amen.
Hymn 558. Sweet the name of Christ must be from and to eternity, for it pleased the Father well, fullness all in Christ should dwell. 558.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to help me again. I will direct your attention to Psalm 99 and the first verse. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. Oh, to be found one of the subjects of this King, this Lord of all, and to be made willing in the day of his power. To be found among those that tremble at his word. Broken, contrite sinners will tremble at his word, and they then know that the Lord reigns, because he hath put sin under his feet. And what can Satan do when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees? There a trembling sinner confessing at the throne of grace. Oh, what a throne of grace it is. The Lord reigneth to bestow the fullness of mercy upon broken, contrite hearts. And not only may we tremble, realizing unto whom we come, for we come unto a holy God who searcheth the hearts and knoweth the thoughts, seest us exactly as we are. Yet may a child of God fear, that is, with slavish fear. Or he may have reverential fear. He may cry out, why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? That this mercy should come, forgiveness, pardon be known, and a one brought unto the kingdom to plead for those things which it is his good pleasure to give. And what a sovereign then is ours, one that holds all things in his hand. He can dispense every favour according to his wisdom, according to his love, according to his power. Nothing will he withhold unto them that walk uprightly. But who are they that now walk uprightly? But those that know his reigning grace in their hearts. The Lord reigneth. Has he brought you to his footstool and subdued sin for a moment? You may say, my sins rage within my breast. I have no power or control over them. I'm often overcome. But here at the throne of grace, the King reigns. The Lord reigns. He reigns to subdue those fevers of your soul and to bring that health, a healing word, a word that may bring encouragement, a word that may now describe what you are in your King and Saviour. As you may come to plead the merits of your heavenly Melchizedek, who indeed sitteth between the cherubims. And oh, it is there that we find access, because we have a mediator between God and man. And when the mediator speaks, we know that the Lord reigneth, because Christ our intercessor, as Christ the advocate, he has influence at the throne of grace, his Father's throne, which he occupies. And how does he have that influence? Well, he spreads his wounded hands. He shows that he has borne the sins of these subjects, which I bowed the knee tremblingly and have pleaded for mercy. Heal my soul. Open mine eyes. Give me to hear thy voice. Cause me to approach unto thee, to touch the very garment that goes down to the very feet, the very paps that a poor leprous soul, one with a running issue of sin, may come and touch. Then you know the Lord reigns. He reigns because he's conquered sin. He reigns because death no longer has its sting. He reigns because the grave can no longer celebrate, but we sing a risen Christ. Christ risen will mean that there is a resurrection. Paul contended for it. It was a glorious matter to him, knowing that Christ, the first fruits, then we, which are wrought through grace to our journey's end. And that end may be when we are finished with this life and our mortal remains are laid in the grave and our soul is set at liberty to enter into the blessed glory of that infinite space of which we cannot comprehend, but there we may enter into his glorious presence, where there is no beginning or end. That is something which, when faith may look within the veil, can sweetly anticipate and rejoice in, and then yearn for. And you know, a believer will often have to yearn with those longings and desires, feeling at times that they are destitute, and yet, to know that the Lord will regard their cry. And they feel a destitute, but they have not that which they really long for. They wait for it. They wait for the fullness of it. Sometimes they have a sweet earnest of it. And they may be able to cling for a little while to those things, but soon the sweetness or the comfort of them may subside. It's a great mercy that they cannot be taken away from us. The mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. If the Lord has indeed given you a blessing, though the sweetness of it may diminish, though you may perhaps feel that as though you never had it, and yet you cannot lose it. You know these things, they're mysterious, aren't they? But the Lord has appointed his blessings and will also bring about those bring about the completion of all his purpose, so that when we consider that by this resurrection Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, and then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And here is the final enemy. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, the Lord reigneth, and let the people tremble. And it is a solemn matter, and yet it is a glorious matter. We find that this trembling is not just confined to, a sense of awe, but there is also a sense of rejoicing. When in the second psalm it is declared, yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Then as we conclude the psalm, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That is something that the worldling will never understand. They may think they rejoice with all the mirth and frivolity that can be considered that the world may indulge in. But the people of God, they rejoice with trembling, because they stand amazed and wonder why such salvation should come to them. I stood amazed and wondered why, or when this ocean rose that wafts salvation down to men, his traitors and his foes. Well, that could not be except the Lord reigneth. Let us therefore tremble with rejoicing that there is such a salvation, that can save the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need, and so is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. We look on him, though crucified, yet King of the Jews. Pilate had words penned which were true. And when they came to ask him to make the alteration from saying that Jesus, the King of the Jews, to say that he said that he is Jesus, King of the Jews. Pilate had to say, he could not say anything else because divine wisdom will not permit it. What I have written, I have written. Oh, then we look upon our King. The dying thief didn't he? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Dear man, he was at the borders of it himself, death, as he looked upon his dying Lord. But the Lord would give up the ghost. It will be seen when they came to break his legs, he was already dead. Reception, therefore, of the dying thief will be a sweet entrance, knowing that he was with his Lord. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, the Lord reigned. He reigned to subdue all the sins and that he should see there was atonement through the shedding of that precious blood. That he should see that there was remission for his sins, foul as they had been. That he had spent almost all his days, indeed, almost all his hours except for those final hours, was it? We do not know, it may have only been moments. Oh, what a sun shone forth to bring light and life to such a one. Well, it means that there is hope. There's hope for the vilest sinner. There's hope for him who may have indulged and lived in sin for all his days. But who can tell? We will not wish to lay anybody down short with a hope which is vain. But here is what God can do to snatch a sinner from the jaws of hell itself. And it may be said, the last moment. But the last moment will never be too late. You find there are some that will exhort the people to follow Christ, to repent as in their own strength, not to neglect the great salvation as though they have every right to it. Regardless of whether they are those chosen those that were chosen in Christ. Therefore, those that are born again by that same life of Christ, those who are brought to live through Christ, and as he made an honourable profession, so they rejoice with trembling in the profession of their high priest, their potentate, their King of Kings. He made a good profession, and that is the only ground of your profession. You can try to make your profession good, but it will only be so as faith looks and embraces the profession of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who cries, Father, I will that these also may be one, even as we are one. Thou in me and I in them. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. Oh, it is indeed a very sacred thing to have that life. And we know that it is all according to God's ordering. And when we consider the Lord reigning, we see how that all his purposes are worked out in the course of time from the very beginning. We spoke this morning of our first parents, and there the promise was given that the seed of the woman but bruise the serpent's head. There it was evident that the Lord reigned. The devil may seem to rejoice, thinking that he had brought the woman and the man to fall irrevocably. Yes, it could be, he could not, man could not restore himself by any means, but God could. God would show who was supreme. He would show in the end that sin would not have dominion over those of his people, because he would bring life and light unto those that they may fear his name, that they may seek unto him, and that they may know their redemption. Creation was a wonderful thing. It was all in the purpose of God. But redemption, without redemption, there is no evidence of the Lord's reigning power. But our Lord, he does not reign as some tyrant. His rule and reign is love. He draws us by his love. And he teaches us by love. He constrains us by love, that we may walk in love. And the Lord reigneth. We know that men, they will soon be at odds with one another if they are not preserved by the Spirit the natural spirit even that God has granted to them to seek a spirit of peace. And it may be a peace that they may have for a time. And so there is often in the world the violence restrained from what it could be. But let us be quite certain, even in the restraining of those things, he restrains man's wrath because the Lord reigneth. But when it comes to his own dear people and the church of God, when the old nature is kept down and men let distinctions fall, when nothing in themselves they see, then Christ is all in all, and the Lord reigneth, and we tremble to think that, so contrary to our nature, the Lord should give calmness and peace. The people of a quiet habitation. There the Lord reigns. And we mourn the fact that it is so little evident. It's sad and solemn when we see divisions in the churches. When we see those that walk contrary to the Spirit of Christ. When we see those who cannot apologize and therefore receive not forgiveness. But also those that may not forgive, not willingly forgive when they ought to forgive. What has grieved the Spirit of God? Well, we need to search our hearts. We need to see, are we the ones that are grieving the Spirit of God? You'll never find you'll come to any harm by leaving your gift at the altar and being reconciled to your brother. You will find that then you can come sweetly to the altar, knowing that Christ, for Christ's sake, he has forgiven you. Well, the Lord reigneth. And it is our mercy when such a spirit is given that we are willing to submit ourselves, painful as it is to the flesh, yet to see that our Lord and Master, found in the form of a servant, humbled himself even unto the sufferings of death. And it was that the Lord reigneth. And so, in that weakness, seeming weakness, we see the strength and power of God. For the weakness of God is stronger than men. Therefore the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. When he brings that work of sovereign grace, effectually calling us from nature's darkness into the light, when the gracious Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, works effectually to bring life so that we may be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The Lord reigneth when that incorruptible seed is conceived in your soul. And that will be the evidence that you are a child of light and not of darkness. And that you have passed from life, from death unto life. And we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And we love the brethren because we see Christ in them. You may see 101 faults in them as well. That's in their own self, but you see Christ in them. And if you love Christ, you'll love the brethren. And so the Lord reigns. But the Lord reigns in every work of sovereign grace. You know, we feel so inadequate to bring forth these blessed things. But if the Lord has put joy in your soul, then it is because the Lord reigneth. If the Lord has granted you a patient spirit, it is because the Lord reigneth. If the Lord has given you the faith to lay hold upon that life, it's because the Lord reigneth. If the Lord has granted you a hope that is cast within the veil, it's because the Lord reigneth. He has ascended up on high, he has led captivity captive, he's received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell amongst them. So he does by his gracious spirit. But they have that hope which is cast upon him who has for us entered. An high priest who has entered into the heavens. Aaron, in his work and office, could only enter into an earthly tabernacle, though it was appointed of God to be set up. And the place that they entered in was holy, the holiest of all. No man could go and enter there unless they were appointed, and only the high priest was appointed. But the veil rent gives access. And the Lord reigns. We see that he reigns when the veil was rent from top to bottom. And our high priest, yes, it meant his resurrection, his ascension up into glory, there that he may receive everyone who comes to that moment of need. I must just pause and make this point. Every time we approach the throne of grace, the mercy seat, we have access. But there is an access that shall be known when we shall enter into heaven itself. And there the Lord reigns. He lives, he reigns. He sits above. And when we think of dying Stephen, who pleaded that the Lord would receive his spirit. Yes, were those that were cast in the stones, were they having the upper hand? They may have thought so, but no. The Lord reigned for Stephen. He would bring him into his holy, glorious presence in a moment. There he would be perfectly safe. No longer would he be exposed to the machinations of carnal, vile opposers who would not receive Stephen. No, they will not receive the truth that he spake. They will not receive Christ. And if they receive not me, they will not receive you. Our Lord spake that to his disciples. We see it very blatant and blatantly set forth in the case of Stephen. But the Lord received him. The Lord received him. And the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Yes, and let the earth make it evident that yes, there is the God over all. Let the people come to consider that there is a God. At his crucifixion, I know my thoughts are flitting from one thing to another, but at his crucifixion there was the soldier. That when our Lord had cried, "It is finished," and had committed his soul unto his Father, the soldier said, "Surely, this was the Son of God." Yes, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble and let the earth be moved. Even those were moved at the very evidence that he is the Son of God. Well, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth in the hearts of his people when they come into those troubles. Troubles like a raging sea. When those disciples were on the Sea of Tiberias, tossed about, having been constrained to go to the other side by their Lord and Master, but he went not with them. He sent the multitude away. Instead, he went to the mountain, there to plead with his Father. There that his omniscient eye may be upon the little ship, with those few struggling disciples toiling and rowing. But at the appointed time, the fourth watch, not the first, not the second, not the third, the fourth watch. What shall be said? Soul, wait thou only upon God, that he will come. And you can say it with certainty because the Lord reigneth. And he reigns as the all-seeing sovereign of your very state and condition. And he comes and quietens the waves and the wind, says, "Peace be still." An evidence the Lord reigneth. We come sometimes into those troubles. Oh, we may perhaps think we will sink in those troubles, but the Lord reigneth. Yes, he reigns to disperse the very troubles that have arisen. And as quickly as they have come, as quickly he can cause them to vanish. I say vanish because so often these things are like a cloud, you know. They seem dark and menacing to us, but how quickly a cloud can be dispersed. Dispersed by the rising sun. Dispersed by those rays. Dispersed by the word which controls all things. And the Lord sends his word. And the Lord reigneth. And you may see that the Lord reigneth not only in every aspect of spiritual life, but also of your providential life. For the child of God, providence and grace unite. They unite in so many ways. But doubtless you have and can speak of, at least I trust some of you, can speak of how the Lord has worked in your providences. And often it has also brought about the workings of grace in your heart. You have seen the Lord's hand and those things working together. The things that may seem to have been so far apart, but they're brought together and the Lord reigneth. He brings times together. He brings circumstances together. He brings those things which are impossible together. And we may see it in so many instances. You know, we've only got to trace out one or two of the lives of the Lord's people in the scripture to see how the Lord reigneth. He reigned in Jacob's life, didn't he? Yeah, to Jacob, he came to say, all these things are against me. But the Lord reigned. There was a needs be that Simeon should be held in Egypt. A needs be that Benjamin, it should be demanded that Benjamin should accompany his brethren when they went the second time down into Egypt. It was the Lord's appointed way that Joseph may show himself unto his brethren after so long a time. And the brethren, when they were being so seemingly harshly dealt with by this ruler who had all the overseeing of the distributing of this corn which had been gathered in the days of plenty, now there were days of famine. That was God's appointment, wasn't it? Who would have thought that such a means would bring again father and son? He that was thought to be forever lost, dead. But he received him alive. You see, dear friends, God reigned in it all. And God reigns in these things that he might give us a greater understanding. When we look at the account of Jacob and Joseph, and then see how it may be an analogy concerning our Lord and Saviour. He who was sold for 30 pieces of silver. But what redemption? What redemption? You see, the Lord reigns in it. Solemn indeed for those who were thus appointed to the dastardly deed. It were better that a millstone were hung about their neck and drowned in the sea than that they should do such things. But you know, the Lord reigned to evidence his pardoning love and grace to Peter, who denied him, and yet sovereignly and solemnly with Judas. Judas would meet, as it were, the awful consequences of his deed. Sovereign grace. That a poet would spare a Peter and divine retribution and judgment upon a Judas. It shows that the Lord reigns. He reigns, as we spoke of this morning, in judgment. He reigns in mercy. Well, the Lord reigneth, and let the people tremble. Ah, do you stand there and tremble, dear friends? My mind goes to that well-known hymn number 4. And I think it might express a little. Keep silence. All created things, and wait your makers not. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Life, death, and hell, and worlds unknown, hang on his firm decree. He sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be. Chained to his throne a volume lies, with all the fates of men, with every angel's form and size, drawn by the eternal pen. His providence unfolds the book and makes his counsel shine. Each opening leaf and every stroke fulfills some deep design. Here he exhorts neglected worms to scepters and a crown. And there the following page he turns and treads the monarch down. Not Gabriel asks the reason why, nor God the reason gives, nor dares the favourite angel pry between the folded leaves. My God, I would not long to see my fate with curious eyes. What gloomy lines are writ for me, or what bright scenes may rise? In thy fair book of life and grace, oh, may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord. My reigning Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, beneath my Lord, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb who now sits in the midst of the throne. And therefore unto him be all the honour and the glory. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath broken the seals, as we read it in that 5th chapter. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that was upon the sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts fell down, and the 24 and 20 elders fell down at his fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And so they sung the new song: Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, that we shall reign on the earth. And the bit that I just missed out was this: Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion and the Lamb, synonymous in this particular situation, as it refers to none other than Christ, our conquering King. Well, it's unto him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £810, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Charles Warboys hopes to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 856. We sing thy praise, exalted Lamb, who sitst upon thy throne. 10,000 blessings on thy name, who worthy art alone. 856.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.